I wanna be the best in the game, invest in my name. Check no restraints, I'm obsessed with the pain. I ingest, I retain, assess and I change. Possessed by the thought I'll be free one day from society's restraints. Money, clout and fame, a disease, a plague. We all love to hate, have to play the game, have to make a name. All our insecurities are on display.
This is war with the enemy. Think that it was meant to be. Living in a time where disease is on every screen.
Hello and welcome, listeners, to another episode of Tactical Awareness. We're back with Season 1, Episode 16, The Faction Guide Break. We're taking a break. This is the 16th episode where we are finally done getting through the first three factions for ITS Season 14, all their sectorials, and now we're going to just rest on our laurels and discuss. What did we learn? What did we see? What are the patterns in the code of the Matrix from having done these faction breakdowns? What are observations about where ITS and Infinity is right now? So let's join the boys and see what's going on.
Fair enough. Go ahead. Anyway, what are you going to say about that?
Anybody can have an opinion that you're right. You're absolutely right. Hey, everybody. We're changing the tone for this podcast. We are done doing faction guides for a bit. We've done three of them three factions. So how many in a row is that? There's four for Hawk Islam, two for O12, and three for Aelif. So we've done 10 episodes in a row that were just faction guides, and we are finished with that for a minute. We're all done. And so we're going to take a breather from faction guides and figure out what the next, connective tissue between our episodes is going to be. But for now, we're actually going to do, I think, a download of stuff we noticed from doing faction guides.
Screw faction guides.
Faction guides are the unboxing videos of podcasting. Forget faction guides. We're not doing it anymore. We're taking a break. Although we'll talk about Bakunin a whole bunch when Bakunin actually drops, because Bakunin drops tomorrow. So I'm sure our chat will go crazy tomorrow the update's tomorrow, yeah. Army update's tomorrow. Owen's got Bakunin hanging out in a vat of simple green stripping. I knew you had the miniatures. I knew you had because I remember when you played them. Yep. You had tons of them. So you've got a whole host of old Bakunin miniatures you're currently stripping.
And models. I don't know what they are.
I can tell you what they all are. I managed to get my hands on the new Bakunin box set, because you just said Miranda Ashcraft. That's why
put that it poison in your brain.
You did, yeah. It's Cassandra Kusanagi, the Direfos box with the new Connie in it, which is cool because I'm at that Constantinos.
He's the one that matters.
His profile might change. That's the thing, we don't know. His profile could be completely different, right? Like all the profiles are up in the air, and the robot's going in tomorrow too. So you guys are going to hear this on Monday, but this is getting recorded on the Wednesday, the 22nd, basically before the episode. But if you're a patron, then you'll have heard this the day of. Like you'll hear this tonight, actually, as we're recording it. So you'll actually hear this like in real time.
I hope somebody goes to Adepticon, signs up with Bakunin, and just commits.
Apparently you had to have your lists printed before the 22nd. Because you weren't allowed to do it before the army update. They knew it was coming because the organizers knew it was coming. So you had to have your list submitted by the 22nd. So you had to use the old rules, not the new rules. that would be your thing. Commit sight unseen. Just roll in.
Yeah. Assign yourself Bakunin and go with it.
And just go with it for the satellite. I'm pretty sure for the satellite they had to do it previous rules, unfortunately. But maybe I'll do that. I'll build my Bakunin tomorrow and I'll take them to Adepticon with me and I'll have them primed and I'll pick away at paying them maybe while I'm there. I'll sit down with my friends in the painting corner and paint some Bakunin and try and play a game with them. Because the box is like, even looking at just the profiles that are spoiled, the box is easily 300 points. Like it's so many points just for what's in there. It's a 9 model 300 point army though. So you're going to want to take some moderators and some remotes to make it work. You can't fit all. Actually, I think it's 300 points and it's like 12 SWC. Because like everyone's got a sniper rifle or a machine gun or like a rocket launcher. Like everyone in that box, I think, costs an SWC. And I think a bunch of them cost 1.5. So you literally can't use the box as an army. You'll need to get some moderators or some remotes or something to like pad it out and just stretch it different directions. Because like 90% of what's in there is heavy weapons. It's so heavily armed. Or it's a hacker or something like that. Yeah, so we'll probably take a break for that. But we've been chatting after having done this like 10 episode run. I think you're the one that kicked this off. You started noticing patterns in our discussions, and then Owen got annoyed by one of the patterns, and that got us talking about this. What was the first one that you noticed? Because the first one you noticed was, I think, what, robots, Dan. That's, I think, what kicked off this conversation.
It was, well, it was so annoying that I was like, oh, let's look at this faction. And you're like, you can sort by remotes. And then you're like, ugh, I can't even know what remotes are what. I have to click every one, and I know which ones they are, but I don't know the names. So yeah. I have to click each one and look at their weapons. Why do I have to do this every time for every faction? It's the same remotes. It's and even same, when you play in the game, it's not like, this is my Lamed robot. No, it's, this is my Flashbot.
Yeah, it's crazy because like there's literally no difference between some of the remotes across factions. And when there is a difference, it's like this one is coming plus. Or maybe there's an additional profile, like the Rafik has like the rifle-like shotgun versus a combi rifle, right? Like they are slightly flavored to the faction they're in, but why can't they all just be human forward observer? Like, I completely understand that instinct to being like, these are all the same thing. Like, why can't they just be like a Mark One, Mark Two? Like, why can't you just give them like an identifiable name and then just have them be different
support
factions?
Bot, assault bot.
Yeah. TR bot. Like, cause that's how we refer to them even in the faction guides. Like I don't think any of us usually, if we think about it, say the name, we'll say like repeater bot or TR bot
this
or
is,
missile
this
bot.
Is my TR bot. Yeah.
Yeah. And Dan picked up on that really fast too. Cause it's just easier to remember. Yeah, I do feel that. I mean, it's kind of a, like, it's sort of a, I guess it's not really a complaint. Like, it's just something that when you talk about these things back to back to back to back is annoying. But I guess the one thing it does do is it kind of makes the faction building slightly impenetrable to new people. Like, I do see the impact that would have on someone new where they're like, but does this box make this 7 different miniatures? You know, like, does this box of, it just says Nomad remotes, but are these a spot? Like, is it a Cyclone? Is it a Sputnik? Like, what is this? How do I make these things out of this box? It is fairly convoluted, the remote game, when it actually isn't. Like, it's actually pretty simple.
Yeah. And what's the worst is, like, you go into another faction, and it's a weird thing because, like, you play any other game and every faction has all their separate dudes and all their separate roles and all that kind of stuff. But because Infinity is kind of like not even across the board, but like once you understand the weapons, once you understand like weapon ranges and damage, there's kind of like generalities of like, okay, that's that kind of role kind of guy. And of course there's like nuances to it. But there's no good way to sort that in an army builder without just deep diving and reading every single line. Like, it's just like you have to wade through it. It's just this ocean of information that, like, every single time you look at a new faction, you're like, here we go again. Even though it's the same basic stuff, but it's just like organizing in your brain is just so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. It almost feels like if it all had like a prefix, if it was almost like Total Reaction, like it had like some kind of like short code basically for each of them.
If it was just a bot,
fine.
Yeah, I don't even know how you do it, because like you can sort through, like, that's how I do it. Like, when I'm looking at a new faction, I sort through weapons, I sort through equipment, I sort through skills, and that's how you kind of get an idea of what the faction is capable of, kind of thing. And that's really cool that you could do that. So kudos to Army Builder for that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like I've spent the last 4 months, which is not a long time, learning O12. And now I know basically everything in O12, and it's great. And I know a pitter-patter of a lot of other factions, but there's still more. And it's just like, after playing dozens of games, I'm like, I haven't really played Yuzhing. And it's just like, I've spent like 2 hours looking through their profiles, and I'm like, I don't know what this faction does.
I know nothing about these miniatures, except for the remotes. Like, you immediately
except know the remotes. I immediately know what the remotes do.
Yeah, yeah, and it would cut out a bunch of the static, even if they just weren't all called something Yao Kong, right? Like, is it all Yao Kongs? They all have like some, there's something that their names are all common, but then they all have like a different like prefix or something like that.
Culturally insensitive? Is this like make sense to
No. There's Yao Fangs, there's Yao Kongs, and then there's,
that's the two of them. Then there's Long Yao's, Ludia,
and Yao Shis. Yeah, and Yao Shis. There's the Yao Shis.
My brain's already turned off.
And
yeah, there's two Yaozi.
And Yao Poos. Yao Poos are the size fours, I think. Yeah, the Evo hacker and
the,
stuff.
The
like
Pangolings.
That. Pangolings, yeah. It's just, I don't know. I agree with you, Dan. I feel like if there is an honest criticism there, it's that you're creating a level of impenetrability to something that could actually make your game easier to like mentally sort. If you just parsed all those remotes by their role, first of all, and then you could give them whatever fancy name you want, second off, it would mean that like when you go to jump to a new faction, you'd be able to see what they do. Now, that's not going to help Ariadne players or Toha players who just don't have remotes, right? But like even the combined army, the remotes all generally do the exact same thing as the human ones. I think the difference is they get a plasma rifle TR bot in addition to the normal TR bot. Like they've all got, I mean, across all the factions, there could be subtle variations, like what weapon it's armed with. They might have mimetism or climbing plus or something like that. But for the most part,
it's kind of funny because the combined army does kind of play that game where they're just like R bot, Q bot,
yeah,
D bot. Yeah, but the thing is like that doesn't do you any good either. Because you're still like, I don't remember which one the Q bot is.
It's not a role. You know what I mean? It's not saying like this is like a Ford Observer bot. This is a TR bot. Like if they all had like just a prefix, I think that was like a commonality to them, I think that would be really handy. That would give people a little bit of like, I can just absorb this information up front. Like helper bots. Like I call every helper bot a pal bot just because that was the first one I used. And so it doesn't matter what faction it comes from now. They could be prisoner with job bots, which are the ones in the combined army. They could be Yao Zhaos in the Yu Qing army, but like they're all just helper bots to me.
They're all Nazmats.
They're all Nazmats to you. They're all exactly. Yudbots to me. They're all Yudbots to you. Exactly. It's whatever the first name you learned of them is what you call them forever. Like I call every remote that's a repeater remote now a transductor because I've been playing Nomads for the whole year. But like some of the names too, like Ramont Nickbot V5 Electronic is the pal bot for Ariadne now. They get two of them and they're garbage. The peripheral servants that are 4/4. They're so stupid.
So painful.
They're 2 points. They're 2 points instead of 3 points.
I looked at them and I'm like, but why?
Yeah, but they're 2 points. That's the thing is they're cheaper because they're 4/4. They're helper bots that can stand somewhere else. I just imagine they all look like junk bots. They all look like R2-D2. Like they barely function as robots.
My favorite part about those bots is if you get close to a tag with like a hacker on a rooftop, the bot can't get close enough to walk up and repair the bot or to repair the tag without getting hacked by the hacker.
That's so funny. It's really funny. Its whole move has to do it. Yeah, anyway, it's just I think that was an interesting observation, and that kind of kicked off, I think, what we're going to talk about for the rest of this, which was, as we went through these things, what did we notice that started to, like, filter into our conversations over and over and over again? What recurring themes were there? And the first one was, and this only didn't happen, I think, during Owen's breakdown of Hawk Islam. And we'll talk about why in a minute. But one of them was when we were talking about 012, we've sold Dan on mercenaries so hard. And then all of a sudden, Dan, his whole army became like padded with mercenaries. And it started to annoy him like crazy. So let's talk about that.
They're really good. Why not?
They are really good.
Why not? Like, you could, with a box of remotes and the mercenary gaggle, play all of the human factions.
Not all of them. There's a few that don't get them. Pano has very little access to them across most of their armies. You get very little mercenaries.
All we're talking about is vanilla. Just vanilla, which you get every single one of them.
So vanilla Pano does get a few of them. It gets
all of them. Motorized bounty hunters.
Don't get the libretto. They get Armand. They get
Armand.
Ada. They get Wild Bill.
Diggers.
Yeah, they get Diggers.
Crackhots.
Yeah, they get anyone who is an ITS mod. They get all the ITS mods. They get the Cube Jagger.
Yep. They get the Beast Hunter.
They get the Kunai. So yeah, they get Octavia. They get the Beast Hunter. They get
Shona.
They're
all there.
Liberto's not there, but that's funny.
Yeah, the only one who doesn't show up is the guy who already works for them.
Or no, he doesn't work for them. He's freedom fighting against them because the ones that are unheard are all brainwashed. You're right. It's because I start off with talking about him because Liberto is so ubiquitously seen in different armies. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're in all the vanilla factions. So why is that so annoying, you think? I mean, obviously there's a reason here, right? The reason is a lot of these were ITS models, and they want anyone who got an ITS model to be able to use it in vanilla forever. But like, what's the impact you're seeing here?
If you were forgiving about proxying remotes, specifically remotes like Flashbot, Missilebot, TRBot, you could play every faction that is a human faction using only mercenaries remotes and a single model to be the lieutenant from that faction.
Yeah.
Find John, a game that exists in miniatures that is like that. Because it's crazy to me. Like,
yeah.
Like when you look at 40K, when you look at...
But is that a problem?
I mean, yeah.
So my problems, my conversation with that's different. So you're having like an ethical dilemma with it. My problem is that some of these in particular are showing up in preference to the faction models. And I'm going to point specifically at the motorized bounty hunter now, especially since like last season and the change, the beast hunter, the liberto, the digger. Maybe the crackout. I don't see the crackout as much, but
crackout versus digger now because it's the same.
Yeah, and the digger's got
two wounds.
Yeah, yeah, digger's two wounds, yeah. and Nauf, because Nauf's a visor that almost anybody can take, right? Like, and he's an amazing gunfighter. Like,
so that's only eight profiles.
But that's exactly. And so let's break down that, because I think that's actually more significant from like a is this. How often should these show up? Where should they show up? Like, I think it's great that they show up in NA2, but those are all mercenary factions, right? And I think it's okay that they show up in the vanilla factions too. But some of them, like McMurrow, McMurrow's a good example. If you can take McMurrow, you take McMurrow. Like, your army just starts those points down because McMurrow.
He doesn't show up nearly as often though, because he's not in that clump of like everybody gets him. No, you're not wrong. Like 100%, if he shows up, I brought up McMurrow.
Yeah, you've used
him. But he also, like, he's not ubiquitous like the others. He shows up in, like, four factions?
Yeah, he's a bit more spendy. His home faction being...
Outside of Ariadna,
yeah. And when he does show up, though, you typically take him. But the Liberto is... he's amazing.
Baram and Corregidor.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else. Maybe one of the Pana ones that I'm just not...
Maybe an NA2 one, maybe Istarco, maybe.
It's going to be one of the NA2s.
Yeah, probably. I was going to say it's probably one of those.
But that for me though, like, because arguing is more of like a theme problem, like mechanical balance of like, hey, why bring your own faction when you can bring generico? That's another part, and we'll, like you said, we'll talk about that. But for me, it's very much like my biggest experience since coming back to the game has been this like mega flattening of all the factions, and I talked about it right away at the beginning of the podcast when we talked about the 15 order thing. Mm-hmm. And this has like amplified that even more, where like, oh, you're 5-man link, 3-man Harris backup team, hacker remote, what else is in your list? Oh, that is your list, of course. Oh, sorry, you're 2 warbands and your infiltrator guy. Like, every list is the same, and then it doesn't matter what faction you're playing. And then when you finally break out of the link teams, like you get out of the 6 heroes and go to vanilla, it's just a sea of mercenaries. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's like, how did this happen?
And like max AVA mercenaries too. Like if you have access to diggers, you usually take 2 diggers because they're 14 point heavy infantry, right? With chain rifles and grenades. Yeah. And berserk, like they're a natural born warrior. Sorry. Not berserk, natural born warrior and booty.
Two burst is what makes them crazy.
Sure, yeah, burst up. Yeah. Well, also the fact they have booty, right? So they could just immediately become upgunned to anything, right? Like they could have a sniper rifle, they could have Panzerfausts, they could just like find an HMG, like they could have -6. Like there's a whole bunch of like implications to having a 14 point heavy infantry with booty. So I think you're right. So let's break this down a little bit more then. Let's talk about the 15 order cap. So one of the things that I think happens with the 15 order cap, if we're going to talk about mercenaries and mercenaries being ubiquitous, because I think where we're on that right now, is when you have limited choices, you naturally gravitate towards the best thing you can get for the least points. And in a bunch of these factions that have access to them, and almost everybody has access to diggers, sometimes they're in the fire teams. Like in Corregidor, you can, I think it's Corregidor.
I think the sectorials avoid this a bit better. I think it's much more of a non-sectorial issue. The sectorials each kind of dip into them, but they're not ubiquitous. Like, sure. The sectorials have some of them, obviously, like Druze, of course, yeah. Like linkable diggers that count as your base trooper. Of course you're bringing those, right? Yeah, like the NA2 army section there is like kind of
it makes an sense exception. For it to be there. Yeah, it makes sense for it to be there. But
they all only get one of the groups. They don't get all of them, which is the vanilla issue.
And I think there's some validity though to what you're saying. When you have 15 models you can potentially pull in, or 15 profiles you can max pull in, especially in vanilla, these become really attractive because a lot of them are relatively cheap, especially when they're cheap. Like, let's take, for example, playing vanilla 012. You don't have access to a lot of warbands. You have I think it's Shona and Hippolyta. You have access
to the Varangian Guards.
And the Varangian Guards. Gangbusters, that's right. But the Varangian Guards in particular give you access to cheap smoke, right? And so the Varangians, as soon as Dan like looked at them, he didn't really understand them, but then he used them once and was like, oh, I'm gonna take these in every army. Like, these are amazing. These are fantastic. They're a delivery system for things in Star Mata when I can duo them, and when I can't duo them with the thing I want to do them with them, I still get all this order efficiency and I make them regular.
Yeah, my first expansion to O12 outside of the main box, I was like, I need an alpha and I need two Varangians.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, I just remember thinking that. I was like, okay, there's other things, but really, like, these are the main things I need.
Yeah, and you have Lian K, actually, who's your other option for 21 points, who's also pretty great. I think Lian K is fantastic. Like, I think Lian K is great. He's only been -3, but he's pretty fantastic for 21 points for what he does. And his melee potential is
bananas. Yeah, you're welcome to believe that. But Varangian Guards are just better.
Oh, no, but that's the argument I'm making, right? Like, for 12 points, the fact that you get basically a Berserk SMG, chain rifle, smoke grenades, CC-26 Berserk, like Dogged, Religious Troop, Impetuous, like, they're crazy fast. They run across the board as quick as you want them to, and they're arm 2 and Fizz 14, right? So their melee attacks are great, their stuff's great. But the important thing is, if you're trying to get to a full 15 order count, this guy's not only useful, he's also cheap, right? And when you're playing vanilla or you're playing a faction that has access to them, that's really attractive. And the same goes for the Liberto. Right, the Liberto is this like incredibly efficient midfielder. So, like, moving away from warbands for a second, if you don't have De Lamis, right? Only one faction has De Lamis.
O12 can't use Libertos, for the record.
They can't. No, you're right. The newer ones can't. I think the only ones that can't.
I think it's because if O12, it's the cops don't hire the resistance fighters.
No, well, O12 can't, and the aliens can't. The combined army can't.
Yeah,
and but the Toha can, weirdly, because they're also aliens, and all of the regular factions, the prime factions, can.
I think the standout mercenary in O12 is the motorized bounty hunter.
Yeah, and that's going back to warbands. We can talk about him again too, because that's the thing you don't have when you don't want your warbands to die, right? Is a peace trading warband, and the motorized bounty hunter for 9 points. I remember when you first looked at the profile, Dan, you were like, "But I could get a Red Fury." You know, and I were both like, "Yeah," or you could get like as many dead more than 9 point minis as you want on turn one, because you can be anywhere on the board.
I feel like you've like switched to talking about warbands. We're talking about mercenaries.
I'm talking about where they fill in roles, right? When a faction doesn't have cheap mercenaries, right? You're competing with factions. So
if O12 does, because it has Varangians, like, they're a unique thing to O12. But what O12 doesn't have is a cheap throwaway template.
Exactly.
The best they get is a Varangian guard who is not very fast. Like,
you don't want to throw away. Cool. You don't want to throw them away because you want that smoke too for your visors, because you're not getting the smoke anywhere else, right? So, like, you're trying to.
Speaking of visors, it's Nauf. It's Nauf and Armand who are the 1-2 that are fighting for that visor slot.
Yeah,
because they don't have an MSV2.
Yeah,
they do. They have Epsilons. They have Epsilons. Epsilons are just.
Oh, that's right.
But not as high burst, right? So, like, you can take Nauf, or you can take an Epsilon with a sniper rifle. You'll probably take the Nauf, but you can link the Epsilon.
In a different faction.
Well, it's the same faction because they both also still have access to Varangians and motorized bounty hunters. I'm just saying, across that faction, you're looking at roles you don't otherwise have, and they're super cheap. So of course people are going to take them really often to get to that 15 order count and also have something they don't normally have access to. And a bunch of armies go through this. Like, any army that can take a Liberto will, because no one else has De Lamis. And it's just a De Lami, basically, or a Mind Layer, you know, version of a De Lami.
Yeah. We're jumping all over the place, but yeah, like,
The point I'm trying to make is, if it does something your faction doesn't do and it's cheap and it's a mercenary, you're going to take it every single time, because it gets you to 15 orders, and it patches over like an intentional weakness in your army. And so I think the annoying thing is that they become auto includes and you see them every single game.
For many factions, they're the best in slot for a job. Like if you're talking about, like if your faction doesn't have a cheap, like I rush the board template guy, the Crackot Digger and Motorized Bounty Hunter are probably better than the one that you have. Because everyone's got kind of one.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, they're in one way or not better than it. Like whether it's because they're cheaper or because they're more efficient at the job or they have two wounds or they have whatever their thing is, whatever the reason, or they're a motorcycle. That's what makes them better than the one that your faction got.
Yeah.
And so you should just bring the mercenary because it's an optimal choice.
And how do you feel about there being optimal choices across that are the same choice across a bunch of factions? Because I think that's where it starts to get sticky.
Yeah, that's the problem. And so you go, well, you're going to keep running into these same guys and the game has become essentially the same eight and then seven more of your own faction. If you're playing the vanilla faction, again, I think the sectorials avoid this. They play their own game because links change this a lot.
Yeah, having fire teams changes it a bit.
But across the prime factions, the vanilla, the mega factions, they run into this all the time. And then I think the only two that really resist it, because I don't think it's just Hawkeslob, is also Ariadne.
Yes. Yeah, because they both have access to, I think, the cheap piece trading piece. Like the role that these mercenaries are that are so ubiquitous, like the Motorized Bounty Hunter, the Liberto,
the diggers, and even more so the Beast Hunter.
Mm-hmm. They have someone that does that job. They have Galwegians, or they have Gazis, or they have Delamis,
or they have what's the biker called? I know he's I don't you don't Desperados. See him that often. That's the one I'm thinking.
Desperados,
of.
Yeah. Desperado. And I think that's right. And I think that's how we kind of came to this feeling is when we did like the in-between, right? Between Aelith, like so in 012 and Aelith, we're both talking about how great the mercenaries are at patching over things you don't normally have access to. But then we're talking about Hawkeslam. We're like, yeah, these guys are here. You don't really need them though, because you got something in your faction that does their job but better. Because they're even cheaper, or they don't pay a premium cost for this, or they have some piece of tech that this mercenary just doesn't have, right? Like, cool, you ride a bike and have, a double chain Colt for this many points. Coom have this lady with pistols who will murder you. And also, Coom are half the points for the guy with a chain rifle as opposed to a chain Colt. So it reaches out and touches further and stuff like that. Like, there's an argument all of a sudden to take... the in-faction one, because they have something that one doesn't. Like, Coomer 6 points with smoke grenades and chain rifles. And that's just, while it's not the same, right, as a motorized bounty hunter, it can get more places and potentially hit more things with the template when it's doing it. And it does it for, 3 points less. So you're getting, and your AVA is total, so you're getting as many as you want if you want to run the all Coom show, which I had to face at one point in N3. So I think that's why this stood out to us so hard was all of a sudden we weren't talking about things with the same like gusto that we were talking about them when we're doing the O12 review and we're doing the Aelith review. And it was because, this is the faction that doesn't need that. Like there's some other ones that they probably would like to take. Like Nauf is cool in vanilla Hawkeslam because they do have Janzibans, but they don't have a burst 3 sniper rifle, right? Like he's not as cool as maybe in Ariadne, where there's far less MSV, and there's no MSV 2, there's only MSV 1, but he's still cool, he's neat, he's a thing that you might try and take, but it's not like, automatic. It's
certainly different, yeah. And because there's knockoff now in a Govad, right?
Yeah.
The Govad's a 2-burst and 1 less PS, but they're veterans, and they're 7 points cheaper, and a Swick cheaper.
Yeah.
So, like, even there, he's got direct competition, whereas, like, O12 only has... the Epsilon.
No, mm-hmm. They have the Epsilon, they have the Lynx, and for me, it's a tough decision choosing between the three.
For a visor sniper?
Yeah. Well, no, not visor sniper, but just sniper.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of snipers. Everybody, yeah. Sorry, I'm talking purely from like the idea of I want to make a sniper, right?
It's between the Epsilon then and the... I think the Epsilon's almost identical. Like, the Epsilon's got a better visor and is almost identical to Nauf. Like... Yeah. he's very close to being the same, and he's the same point value basically. Yeah, the multi-sniper is 34 points. He's got bioimmunity, so he's always armor 3. He's also got mimetism. He's also immune shock, but he's got climbing plus all of a sudden. Yeah. Same BS.
Epsilon is better, visor. Except for the fact that he only has 2 bursts instead of 3 bursts.
But you can link him in certain
which is factions, a big deal.
So, yeah.
Right. But you can't bring now Finstar Armada, so it doesn't... like that's
it's
not
irrelevant, yeah.
He's not competing there. Yeah. It's only in the vanilla. Yeah, it's... Do you want the extra level of MSV, or do you want an extra burst?
Yeah.
But I feel like most people choose the Epsilon over now.
I also think they'll take the HMG. neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's the interesting thing is like we can talk about certain ones of these mercenaries and go, huh, there's an in-faction competition for them. But when I go to Pano and I look at like cheap midfield mine layers, there's nobody but the Liberto. Right. If I'm looking for cheap war bandy fighty in melee heavy infantry, there's nobody.
Ada Swanson is like a cheap mine layer for Pano.
That's right. Like... yeah, exactly. So when you're playing Pano and you're like, oh, I don't have a Liberto, I should definitely get a Liberto. Or I don't have Liang K, I should definitely get Liang K. They're still holding out and not giving them anybody with smoke down, which I think is funny. I love that we're this far into the game and they just refuse flat out to give Pano smoke in any way, shape, or form. Though there's nothing. There's just the Eclipse Grenade on the Guarda de Assalto, but I don't even think you can take him in Vanilla Pano. I think he's only
anymore.
He does. He's an Akon. He's still an Akon. Okay. He might be in Vanilla Pano. I might be wrong. Let's look. Because he has this Helper bot that had an Eclipse Grenade launcher back in the day. Yeah, oh, he's still there. Yeah, he's still there.
I mean, again, I'm newer to the game. I haven't seen a lot of the game still, but I still don't see the problem. I don't see it being rampant, and I don't see it. Again, I haven't experienced anything but this.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem yet. I also don't think it's a problem in general because a lot of people like this is a problem.
You're theorizing is going to be a problem.
Yes,
but right
and,
now,
and also, not. And also, it's a problem in online discussion. I don't think that most people will seek out these mercenary miniatures, or in the case of like the diggers, the proxy or convert them because they don't have, there's no miniature for them. The Tigrade miniatures aren't out. And same with the Beast Hunter, right? There's no miniatures for them yet. So it's irrelevant until it's relevant. And I think that's the thing that I find really interesting is these are profiles that get talked about absolutely all the time in online discussion because they get used all the time in Tabletop Simulator.
I think actually the reason it's not as prevalent is because in the current iteration of the game, the weighting is on sectorials versus the vanilla factions, and the sectorials don't run into this nearly as hard because they don't have access to all of them. Each of them gets like one or two of that mix of mercenaries, and they actually are like they're coherent with whatever the sub faction is
or the theme. Yeah, exactly. Like, Moro being a space mercenary and hanging out with the nomads is like it's relevant to like his story.
Yeah, and he's doing that. Or like the I think it's Tunguska can hire like a ton of bounty hunters, so they actually get a Harris of motorized bounty hunters. Sure, yeah. Why not? That's fine. Like that makes sense. But they don't get Libertos. They don't get all of them. They don't have Ada and they don't have the diggers and all them all competing for the same slots. Like it feels like if Tunguska had Krakots and diggers, what roles do the cheer killers play?
Yeah,
like
of course,
other than the fact that the cheer killers can link, their abilities just go away in the face of those two models because the other two are just better. They're everything the cheer killers do. They lose super jump, but they either gain extra wounds, they gain melee capability, they gain like way more different, like they get template weapons, they get booty rolls or metacam rolls and things like that. But you don't have to deal with that because you only have to fight that war if you're in Nomad vanilla.
Yeah.
And right now the packaging sells them as sectorials. You don't buy Aelif box. Like they exist. There's a few. I know there's a Nomad one that took all of the sub faction boxes and made one mega.
Yeah, action, the action pack.
Like there's a Pano the $400 one or whatever it is. Yeah. But like, yeah,
it's basically all
if I go to my store and I'm like, I want to start the game, oh, look, they have the Pan-Oceania Military Orders Pack or the Operation Subsection of the SSS. Those are what you buy. You don't buy Aelith. And so you don't run into it. Like, the players that you play, most people don't have the collection of entire factions. And then the people who do, maybe they're going to play those vanilla factions. And then for them, it becomes the battle of, does my own faction have anything better than the random mercenary models?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is a conversation that's only affecting like probably 10% of Infinity games. It's affecting games that are happening where you're just looking at Infinity Army and then using whatever you want because there's model access isn't a restriction, like in Tabletop Simulator. And it's affecting high-end Infinity games where people are trying to parse out like what is the best you can milk out of an army list. And you're almost definitely correct that like we're yelling fire in a theater about something that's probably not a problem yet for 90% of players. But it is an interesting observation, and it is something that we found ourselves coming back to over and over again in discussion because we couldn't find a reason not to take some of these profiles in comparison to the profiles that were in the actual main faction we're discussing.
So real life experience, when I was getting to know the mercenary things and the bots, I was like, why am I playing with 12? It's like, I'm sure there's another faction out there that can do this differently. So I should embrace more of the O12 models because that'll probably give me a better edge for playing O12. But it was very easy to build like lots of bots, lots of mercenaries, and just be like, yeah, those are my lists. And it's strong. And they're good lists. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
but they end up being the same. How is this an O12 list, right? Like, that's the
right, problem. Right. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, I have a booty list because I just like the concept of booty, of just randomness. Maybe it's because I started gaming as an orc player. Sure. It's just like, I'm just chasing that feeling of fourth edition orcs in 40K. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just like, I build the list and I'm like, why am I playing with 12 in this? Like, I bet there's a different faction out there. And maybe there's not, but I was like, I bet there's a different faction out there where I could play this because there's so many just generalized things. It's kind of like pick and choose your own flavor. You have all the mercs with all the booty and all the fun stuff, and then you have a pitter patter of your own stuff as your lieutenant and a few other guys, like I was saying earlier. And it's kind of like, yeah, like anyone can build this list. It's not unique to O12 at all. And I think that's why I wasn't playing it, because it just felt like such a generic hum-ha of like, eh.
Yeah.
But it was strong at the same time.
Yeah, it's funny because that is, I think, more homogenizing than the mercenaries thing is. And that's the next thing I wanted to talk about is, and we did this at the end of talking about Aelith Prime, which is where I said, like, hey, 3 net rods, 2 probots, and 2 Lamed remotes is under 50 points and it's 7 orders. And every faction can do that. Every faction in their prime except faction
for 3 net rods
except for the three net rods, but I mean, yeah. The combined army can do that, but you can get 4 orders right for 29 points in almost any faction, or 30 points, sorry, in any faction. So, and that's now you're paying sub 10 points for an order. That's a huge deal. And they're regular orders, right? Everyone can take 2 repeater bots, everybody can take 2 baggage bots typically. If you don't do that, great, but if you do that, you've spent 10% of your army. And you have
nearly 30% of your
nearly 30% of your total orders, like, done.
Yeah.
So that's a huge like thing that you see across. And this was when Owen started playing, and he's like, "It's just here's your botnet, and here's the 4 hitting pieces." And that's, I think, a bigger and more common thing. I found myself when I was going to go play my O12 this week. I was painting new O12 stuff. I got my hands on the road bot. I got my hands on a couple other things.
Jealous.
And I started painting them, and then I was like, I have to paint all my remotes, because I looked at my O12 collection. I didn't have any remotes painted. I was like, because I painted it for Code 1, and I was just like, do I even want to play this if I don't have remotes? Like, I gotta do so much work and I won't have the orders. And I found myself, I had to like kick myself and be like, no, you played this army all the time before that you had remotes. Like, what are you doing? You don't need to take 15 orders. But I found myself like reluctant to not have access to the cheap orders to like start or finish off my 15 order list. And I think that is way more insidious when we come back full circle to Oh yeah, everybody has access to the same five remote profiles, essentially, with a few variations, right? And they're like their mix of skills and equipment. And so why wouldn't you always have two repeater bots? Why wouldn't you always have, like, why wouldn't your first purchase when you buy a box or something be to go out and get those repeater bots and those baggage/evo bots? So you have access to that stuff. Like, and it feels like the game is pushed into that way. And I think when you talk about that homogenization, that flattening, Owen, that would be my experience with that, where I'm like, oh yeah, this is a no-brainer. Everyone has access to these and they form the cheap core order pool of your army that you then like fit the rest of your pieces around. How do you guys feel about that?
I take it back. I said my first purchase was Varangian and an Alpha. That was after I had bought my bots.
There you go.
It was just like, you need, and Owen's like, you need bots. And I was like, okay. And I was like, oh yeah, there's so many bots.
And everyone was using them. Like, oh, I'm sure Owen was using them. Owen's always used his last few orders, you know, being filled out by bots. And that was when he's playing Hawk Islam. Really, that's when he's playing, like, I have cheap disposable warbands and cheap disposable, like, midfielders and stuff like that.
I was out of cheap. I maxed my AVAs.
Yeah, that's fair. You're like, oh, I'm actually out of slots. I'm not at points anymore.
I'm not allowed to bring more. And if I'm going to choose between a 5-point Gazi, I might as well take the 8-point regular order if he's my last 15th model.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, exactly. But do you feel like pressure, Dan, to get to that 15 order like count? Do you feel like, because it is good.
People,
like,
more orders is never
not good. Yeah,
yeah. I've had that talk with one of the guys at the local game club, because he wanted to play Neo Terra, but it's hard to get to 15 in a Neo Terra, and it's like, don't, it just lean on the crazy good bolts and super heavy infantry that you have.
Yeah,
go 10 orders. Doesn't mean you might have 8 half of the time. Maybe then all you have is all of the best things in your faction in one list.
Yeah, all you have is BS-13 guys with marksmanship armed with drop bears and combi rifles and Spitfires.
Yeah. BS-13 guys who hit everything in the game on 19s because they're in a link and they have MSV and they also have marksmanship.
I dusted off my Neo Terra the other day just because I want to use my Ulan, and then I was like, I need to put you down for a second. Like,
that's okay. Your sniper's real Terry. Real scary. Let me bring out Swiss Guard missile launcher. There we go. That solved that problem. Like, they're great, but I can't get to 15 though. Like, I want to bring those guys because they're the Aquila Guard's really cool and the Swiss Guard's really cool and bolts are really fun. But if I'm not at 15, it's not good, right? Like,
I mean, and that's not like, is it? Like, I've definitely won games with 12 orders. You know what I mean? I think Neoterra is an interesting example because I don't think they have access to any TAC aware. Like, apart from like the Pathfinder bot, I don't think they actually get any like built-in TAC aware because they haven't gotten an update in a long time. So I don't think any of their profiles have, like, it's not like, you know, we have the Shang-Chi with like tactical awareness in White Banner and like an HMG. Like, they just haven't gotten a glow up in a long time because their profiles are also old.
Like military orders.
Yeah,
the day will come when I'm going to talk about military orders. I started getting into it in the Discord for anyone. Yeah,
your poor boys.
But like, oh my god!
But here's the thing: is military orders do have access to that same core mule bots and whatchamacallit? They get AVA 2 mule bots. They get AVA 2 of the, what is it?
No, they only get Fugazi.
They only get one Fugazi. Okay, yeah. but that's still 22 points for three orders. So you're still paying sub 10 points for three orders, right? And even if you're not running Joan, then there's a pot that you can probably get to 15. You get cheap Teutonics. Like, there's lots of, like, there's lots of potential there that I don't think even existed really before. Like, we didn't see, you saw limited insertion list, and that was pretty much it.
I missed limited insertion.
Yeah, the 15 order thing is kind of like I view it as you have 10 orders for the stuff that needs to get stuff done. Mm-hmm. And then you have your 5 orders for the kind of support or suicide squad. And so it's kind of like, or kind of like
your alpha strike, your alpha strike, or your, yeah,
it's,
like your,
it's either an alpha strike or it's your healer / engineer, or it's your sleeper that is going to wake up get shoved over into group one and have all the orders to do the objectives later on in the game. It's like that is kind of like that. So when you only have 10 orders, it feels bad for me. I haven't had success with a 10 order list yet. And it really hurts when you go first and they get rid of those two orders. And you're like, I only have 8 orders. And then even if I kill like 5, I'm still down.
Yeah, that limited desertion rule that's gone away has really hurt trying to play a 10 order list.
I think it's still an extra you can pull in, but like, yeah, I think the thing that's really hurt is not having it give you immunity to having your order stripped. I think if it still did that, you'd be okay. But they've given it, I think they're afraid they've given it so much TAC aware and so much NCO that they had to get rid of that limited insertion, like one fire team restriction. I think you could safely still put it in there. Cause I think right now the pressure to go to 15 is because of that. It's because you need every order you can get and you're trying to squeeze every last order into your faction.
Which is where it ties into the mercenary thing. Like that's the connection here for those of you that are following along.
Yeah.
The number of orders, the 15 orders, the bot thing, they all lead into the, you need to get to 15 orders as the starting of your army. And that's like, that's part of where my issue comes is that like, these are all the same now because of this 15 order thing. Like I know that everyone talks about the Galwegian Caledonia 30 guy list, right? I've never played against it. I've played hundreds of games of N3 and like not once. Everyone always talked about it as this big problem that like, oh, somebody's going to drop 30 regular orders on you. Maybe, but
it's a theoretical problem. It's not a practical problem. Well,
that's the other problem with Tabletop Simulator is that there's no limit on models.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any the theoretical imagination the army comes in while if you're actually playing the hobby and painting and building models, it's such an investment of time to build and paint those models. And so it's like, no,
I think that's where we found people are leaning into that proxy part of the document that's led to a lot of, I think, very generous interpretation that you can just use anything you want as anything. And it's like, nope, that's not at all what the ITS document says. The ITS document says that all your models should faithfully represent what they're supposed to be. And if you can't get your hands on them because of they're out of production or because the model doesn't exist, you know what I mean? Because you're not going to make a model for every profile of everything, then you can proxy an appropriate model and you have to clear it with your TO. But I think there's an imported bias of, well, I can do this, you know, the way that I normally play this. Why can't I do this in the tabletop? But I think you're right. The actual practical part of it is you're not actually going to be able to do that all the way because there is limitations of like your budget and your time and
the availability. Even the reality of playing the game. Like it's hard to play that many orders and actions in 3 turns in an hour and a half. Just like
absolutely.
But like that leads into the, so because you have 15 orders and you're pressured to get to 15 orders because there's no benefits for having less than 15 orders, like period, full stop.
Because they got rid of the thing. Yeah, because you got rid of the
limited insertion thing. Yeah, if you had that, there'd be a little bit of something. But because of that, you have to get to 15. So now you have to really make sure that one, you've got cheap guys because it's hard to get to 15 without it. So you have to do the remote thing. Everyone's got their remotes. All the remotes are the same. Then you have mercenaries who are cheap and fill a bunch of the roles. So you run into mercenaries a whole bunch. Now, again, sectorials, they dodge this to some degree because they usually each have some guy who's the cheap one or remotes.
Right.
But then for mercenaries, like, I sit here and I try and make vanilla lists for different factions. And it's like, why not just bring that? Why not just bring Krakots? Why not bring Diggers? Oh, I've got them in my collection already. It's even easier. Because I played faction B. Now I can play faction A, C, and D without any problem because a third of the armies are already made up of these. And I can proxy the robots.
Right.
And if there was a proxy that no TO is going to get mad at you for, it's this sniffer bot is this sniffer bot. Right? Like that is an easy 1-2 pick. So like I think honestly my issue with the mercenaries and like the thing that has me so bothered by it is the is the like identity hit. It has nothing to do with the mechanics of the game. Like the mechanics have caused it to become a thing, but like I don't want to go and see a bunch of the same models on every table comprised of the same like organization of things. Like it's interesting when different factions are different. Mm-hmm. And they're not different because we have the marksmanship HMG and you have the marksmanship sniper. It's like, yeah, okay, right. Cool. Like,
yeah. But when you see two repeater bots and a baggage bot in every army, or yeah. If they have access to a Raven Eye, they have a Raven Eye. Or if they have access to a Liberto, then they take the Liberto. I get what you're saying. It starts to feel predetermined, and that doesn't feel that feels like there's a parsing issue happening. And I think that the 15 order cap is doing that. I think it's pushing things into best in show, and it's making it that the fight, the competitive fight to find a place in that 15-man roster becomes more of an issue the more you need to prove that you deserve to be there and also get to 15. So that pressure to get to 15, I think, is doing both those things, the mercenary thing and the bot thing. And then the output is you start seeing these same like bundles of miniatures copy pasted into almost every army list.
I feel like in all miniature games have this problem. All games have this problem of like net lists, and people think they've solved the meta or whatever. And it's never fully true. There's always like things that you can bring that are unique and bring like some like freshness to it. And the best players sure. will always find those things.
Yeah.
But I feel like Infinity, it's kind of happening, and it should be the exact opposite because of how Infinity is and how similar all the guns and profiles are, that you should have more like similar in that, like it's not a crazy variance, that you should be able to build unique and fun lists and have them be competitive more so than in other games. I feel like that should be true. Like, I don't know if that is yet because I'm still relatively new, but it's just like for the meta to be quote unquote solved of like, this is how you build your lists. And this is why I always like playing with Owen, because he never does that ever. And it's always fun to just play against different kinds of lists.
He's an agent of chaos. Yeah, he doesn't like to. If someone's taking something, he will run screaming in the opposite direction.
And I'm more or less the same, but I don't find the broken stuff as fast. I mumble around in the mud for a little while before I'm like, hey, this works.
You just need to go if one's good, max AVA is better. That seems to be Owen's touchdown. If I could take one of these, cool.
That's my personality type. And I look at the game and I go, it's getting hard. It's getting hard to do that. Because like, you can build bad lists that really lean on your own faction.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And like, why is that the case? And then the other problem of like, I can almost one-to-one copy lists now from every faction. And there's only a few of them that dodge it. Like right. they become identical, with the only things changing being the names, where you're like paramedic, hacker, lieutenant, HMG, sniper, link of five. Second Harris is 6'4 or 6'2 moving, mimetism or MSV guy teamed up with super heavy infantry and specialist with remote. That's my first 10. My five man group is drop trooper or
infiltrator hidden deployment or something,
backed up by secondary remote, usually a missile bot. Yeah. And then like, pick your list, pick your faction, tell me you can't make that exact list in every single one of them. And I think that's really weird. It's something that I don't remember it being like that. I remember like you'd play against a combined army and you're like, what the hell is happening? There's like a zerg of these like garbage things coming at you, as well as like tough big infantry. You'd play against Yu Qing and they'd have like this link of like superheroes being led by like a real character, and then a bunch of nobodies because they had mixable links.
Prisoner with jobs.
Pano had its like, here comes the tanks. Like, yeah. Choo-choo. We're going to bring in the best things and they're going to crush you with it. Hawk Islam is like this army of irregular guys. Like
guerrilla fighters, yeah. And they fought like guerrilla fighters.
Had all the animals, which is just a thing.
It's the werebears.
And now it's like
werewolves.
Ariadne is still different.
So yeah, Ariadne and Toha are still different, yeah.
They get their dogs. Toha's the same as old Toha. because Toha lives outside of the meta.
Just forever. Yeah.
But they're also no longer in print, so only people who played it will remember that, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So like
they get to dark horse everybody every now and again.
That'll fade away more every day as like less people have them and less people are playing them.
I guess this is what I kind of felt when I was like building Star Modelis. It was like, okay, I have my 5-man cheap core with some Raven Eyes, Blue Coat, and some Kappa Hackers. Because that just seems to be the best combo. And you can kind of switch it up, but you're always going to have that cheap core. And it's like, you can switch it up a little bit, but it kind of feels the same. And then you kind of move on, and I'm just like, I don't like that my list is kind of pre-built like that. And you can obviously build different lists, but it just, you kind of just keep going back to that because it feels right and it feels efficient, but then it feels bad because...
Well, it's less...
That's one-third of your orders.
It's less engaging. That's what I feel from it now, having done that. Like, having gone through that with O12 just last week, where I was like, I'll paint some more 12 stuff. I guess I got to paint these remotes. Like, I got less excited about army building all of a sudden because I felt like I had an obligation to get to 15 orders and that I needed this core, like baseline of units in my army in order to do that. And that was discouraging. Like, that, I think that sort of, like, I don't want to say it bored me, but it discouraged me from wanting to keep like noodling on that army list because I felt like I had an obligation to build the army a certain way.
It sounds like we're convincing ourselves not to play Infinity anymore.
That's definitely not what it is.
Which is not true, but it's had that feel.
I think what it means is we need to embrace some chaos. Like, we need to look for some ways to subvert that instinct. Like, embrace, I think
the way of the Owen.
I think you need to find out, like, what are the identities of these factions? What makes Yu Qing Yu Qing?
Yes. Yeah.
What makes Yu Qing not Pano? And like, how, what is the difference that you have?
How can you get to 15 without using those miniatures? Like, how can you do it without having to have like that stuff? Like, I just made a 15 order support.
Yeah.
But I just made a 15 order military list that only has two bots in it. It doesn't have like a core of like a million bots in it. Right. And it has one kind of mercenary because there's a Raven officer in it, but the rest of it's all just military order stuff. It's got a Harris, it's got a core team, it's got a duo, it's got a bajillion heavy infantry, and it's very military. It has a cavalry duo, right? It's like three Teutonic Knights and a Harris with a Panzerfaust, Spitfire, and a Tinbot, two linked Knights of Montessa, one's a paramedic. Five Croziers with a Knight Commander. There's an MSV2 Spitfire. There's a Blitz and EM Mines. There's a paramedic and there's a Knight Commander. There's a Raven Eye. There's Mendoza with a multi rifle, forward deploying, blowing things up with his continuous damage multi rifle. I got a Fugazi, a Mulebot, and a Tech B. So I have every, like, the only thing I have in here is a hacker because I didn't think to put a hacker in. But you have like the most knighty knight army, and it's 15 full orders, and it's how many heavy infantry? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 heavy infantry. Like, it's, I don't know. I think it's possible, but it's how do you break your brain out of that, right? Like, I was trying to like figure out, like, did I need to be at 15 orders? Like, could I take something different if I wanted to? Can I fit a hacker in here? Like, I probably can. I don't need to have Mendoza. Like, I could take somebody who's a smaller gunfighter and not take him. But it made me second guess my instinct to try and get these cheap orders in first and then build my list around them. And I think that's what I'm like.
So your list that you just
pushing against. Yeah.
What are the links in it? So you have a duo of your bikes. I got that one.
I got a Harris of Teutonic Knights. I got a duo of Knights, and I got a full 5-man pure fire team of Croziers.
Yeah. Just wanted to make sure. For you had a 5-3-2 and then support bots.
Not the full army is
before you went and made exactly the list that I've been rambling about.
Yeah, but which I didn't,
by the way.
I did, but I could split it up however I want. Like, I could do 7 and like, I, it'd probably be better if I had 7 and like, sure. I just did it because that's why I was clicking down. But like, the Teutonics could go in group 2.
You can move around where they are in that 15.
Yeah.
It's the same list though. And like, that's where my problem is coming.
Okay.
Like, this is part of that is the, like,
so let's talk about fire teams in this then, like the urge to maximize your fire teams. Cause like, I just did that. Like,
go make an invincible army list.
Sure. Okay.
and it needs to be
no fire teams.
That no, you can make all the fire teams you want, make them in whatever combination you want, and see if you can make an optimal, like what you feel to be optimal in those restrictions that doesn't end up looking exactly like that pan out list. Like that's where my challenge. I mean,
but that's sectorials in general, right? Like right. Sectorials.
This is the sectorial piece. When we go to vanilla, it's the mercenaries.
Right.
That's the whole story that I'm trying to make. Yeah. Like it goes back and forth between the two of them. They have their own thing happening, and we started with mercenaries, which I mean, the sectorials are more interesting in my opinion.
I guess what I was riffing off of there though is you said what's the faction identity, and the faction identity for sectorials is fire teams, like
right,
that's inescapably part of it, right?
But so, my thing is between the factions, that's where it's blurring for me,
like, okay,
what you can do to be a pano list is identical to what you can do in a nomad list, a Hawk Islam list, and a Yu Qing list, and a combined army list. Aelith maybe can't do it. Maybe. And then Ariadna maybe can't do it, depending on which one you went with. Maybe the US Ariadnas could do it, where they have like the heavy infantry links in exactly the same kind of way. Actually, they probably can't because they only have Minutemen. And that would be like, oh, good luck, buddy. but like that's where I'm trying to describe of like the Ramah task force can play the exact same heavy infantry, let's go. Alpha Sids, Janissaries, Sunduk Butts, like the Yu Qing can do the exact same thing in Invincible Army with its wall of heavy infantries. And so like for me, it was interesting when we were different because we were not capable of being the same.
Right.
And I don't know if it's just as time marches on and more get added to everybody, we're all just everybody now. And then the mercenaries are like the little cherry that's been put on top, where like not only do all factions have access to every type of profile instead of like each of them having a disproportionate skew of certain profiles, like Pano doesn't get smoke because Pano's got an disproportionate amount of visors and high BS, and Ariadna the opposite, and then Yu Qing is like the middle ground between them, and then Hak Islam is an opposite to Yu Qing where they don't have as many of that, but they've got this whole bio program. But now it's just like flat, we're all the same, we have access to every type of profile that can solve every type of problem, and then the only thing that you're changing is which type of link are you, and which one mm-hmm. is that one specifically tuned a little bit higher against. And
right,
and the mercenaries, like I said, is the, when it comes down to the end, we're all literally using the same models. Like it's not even, oh well, my knight, or my what's it called, Teutonic Knight is 19 points and he's impetuous and is like a light shotgun, maybe a Panzerfaust, I forget if he has those still. He's identical to a Tanko. Like they're just the same guy. The Tanko is a little bit different, I'm sure, in some minute ways, but like how many factions have that now? And mm-hmm. like we can just like jumping back and forth between Yu Qing or JSA and military orders, it's hard because I have both. I've been playing them recently.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where this feeling has come from. And then the mercenaries thing just came up from the faction reviews where I'm right. like, oh, here it is in one model.
Right.
So my thoughts on that is I think the mercenary thing is still unproven. Maybe online is different, but I don't see that as a problem.
Okay.
It's all whatever. But it's like an in-person play. Sure, mercenaries are strong, but you know, I don't know. It's there is give and take. Some of the mercenaries are irregular orders, and so that's not always optimal. I mean, obviously you can play around that, but I feel like I don't see that as a problem right now. But the sectorial being the here's the cheap five man who becomes a good five man because they get the plus all the bonuses of fire teams. If fire teams seem too vanilla, for lack of a better word, you know what I mean? It's like, yep. You got your core, you got your Harris, and you'll fit maybe in a duo in there or whatever. And then you have your one or two disruptor guys that go and try to mess up and trade well against their core and Harris. And it feels too much like the same list when I'm playing against other things. and it's kind of annoying.
Like you feel then, like you're mirroring, like you feel like you're seeing the same stuff across from you that you have in your own army.
Well, it's like a where's the five man link?
Right.
It's like instantly you're like, where's the five man link? How can I capitalize on trying to hurt them for having to move around as five?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that just always is there unless they're playing a vanilla faction. And it's just kind of like there's different flavors of the five man link that can be stronger or weaker, all heavy infantry, multiple wounds, or just a bunch of dudes sleeping on a roof or whatever. But it's just kind of, it just seems to always be there because it seems like too good not to take.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe and that's why I really like playing vanilla, is because it's like you don't, because like, why wouldn't you take a core? Like,
that's where I go, plus where I three go. BS. We're going to play all the same thing. Let's stretch out into vanilla. And then it's like, oh my God, it's just mercenaries. Like the guys who would be my sleepers on the rooftop have become mercenaries sleeping on the rooftop because they make more sense to be them. Because they're better than my inherent in-faction stuff. And so it's like, where do I go? Like my sectorials all feel samey. I mean, this is a me perspective thing here.
Yeah.
And then the escape, which would normally be, I get the big brush. I can bring every type of profile that my faction can take. And then I'm looking at motorized bounty hunters and beast hunters. And it's like, the hell happened here? Oh, that's okay. I'll go play Pano. What? I'm back again.
So, okay, so my one list had two motorized bounty hunters and a beast hunter. And they were quite strong in the list. I won't deny it. And my other list didn't have any mercenaries at all, I think.
How many times did you play that list, that last event?
Once, but it was a mistake not to play it twice. I should have played it twice.
So I think I made a pretty good Invincible Army list that doesn't look like the other one. And it has 15 orders, but not in the way you think.
Because they can lean on Takaware.
Because they can lean on Takaware, yeah. And so it's one combat group, but but here's the other thing, is it also doesn't have a five-man core. It has a duo and 2 3-man cores instead.
Okay.
So it's a Gweja with Chief Jong. So there's an engineer duo with the Gweja. The Gweja's the LT. Then there's a Shang-Chi APHMG with Firewall -6, a Paramedic Zanshi and a Hacker Zanshi and a Harris. And then there's a Takaware Zanshi with APHMG, Firewall -6, Hacker and Paramedic and a Harris, but it's a 3-man core. And then because the Shang-Chis are all, up to 2 of them can be taken as wild cards. So it's just a pair of Zanshi fire teams that have guys in them. And then there's a Yi Shang, which is the Zanshi doctor with a Yao Zhao, so he can, you know, push around people's arms and legs back on if the paramedics don't do the job. And then there's a Wei Bing Yao Kong for another Takaware order and a combi rifle Ford Observer bot. So you've got everything covered. You've actually got 10 regular orders, and then you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 Takaware orders. And yeah, so you got 14 orders and only 10 orders. You have 15 orders still in one combat group. And it's not like a traditional list. And it's full SWC and full points. You have tons of terrifying, like that Shang-Chi is terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying at burst 5. Yeah, and his gun automatically has shock too. The APHMG automatically gets shocked because he's just that dangerous. I think it's a cool list. I'd play and pay that list.
Yeah,
with a gauge. Well, yeah, I think you can do it. Like, but that's the thing.
But that's a 10 order list.
It's not, because you're looking at it a different way, and you're having your Takaware building up your orders, right? Like you're
right, and that's cool that Eugene can do that.
Yeah,
and so yeah, that's a good list. It would be like embracing the Takaware of Eugene to only have the 10 orders, have a little more elite, and have fun with that list like that. Mm-hmm. That's cool the list.
Identity, right?
But and my instinct though would have been to not take Chief Jong and the Gweja and spend that 101 points to get to 15 orders. You know what I mean? Because like that's the obvious drop, is that duo goes away.
That was my next question was, but what was your instinct to do?
My instinct
how
was
how much to did you have to fight against?
Yeah,
this is how I build a list.
My instinct is that 101 points takes me to way more orders. Right, like that's kind of what I find discouraging, is my instinct is I drop the Geja and I drop Chief Jong and I have 100 points to spend on like whatever I want. I can have, I think I can have another Wei Bing. I think I can take two of them. Yeah, I can have another Wei Bing if I want. And then I could have like the Shang-Chi's are just as terrifying as the Geija. So if I want, I can take, you know, other fast midfielders, something else is going to get up there and do a bunch of damage. And I'm then still have room for the other bots, like the not the Ludan, the Chai, the flash bot. Yeah, I can have two of them for 7 points, and I can still take the Penglings too. So sorry, amusingly.
So funny story about Owen's double Sunduck butt list.
Right.
Was I was like, you could take two Sunduck butts, but if you just take out the second Sunduck butt, you can get 5 Deilami. And it's like, it's a better list. But he's like, no, but it's more fun to have two Sunduck butts. And then he made it work anyways with 5 Deilami.
It's fair. Two Sunduck butts. Sure did.
He just made it work. But it was just kind of like that was me even just like looking at the list. I'm like, but what about 5 Deilami? That's cool. Mm-hmm. Because it's just, if the other Sunduck butt is just in its own list, but like just a one order by itself, because it's just reactionary, whatever. But it was mm-hmm. just like, it's like you always kind of like, that's the instinct of like, might as well try to maximize your orders, because that's more things that they have to kill, more orders they have to spend to get through your army. And then more, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll take two pulse bots. If I'm going second, I'm afraid of them. I'll just sit them up in cover, like on top of buildings. Oh, and they'll die. 100% they'll die. But right. They'll like waste maybe 2 to 3 orders killing them on the way in, hopefully. And that's worth their 7 points. It's a win. Right? And it's like, mm-hmm. so like for me not to take that, it's like, what am I sacrificing by not taking those bots? Because they're so good for 7 points. Do we just need to up the price of the 7-point bots? Like what's the
solution? I don't know what the solution, I mean, I think the actual solution is you have to make a choice between your army construction and balance. Like I'm not 100% sold on Owen's thing of like, just get rid of the combat limit, like group limit, like blow the lid off and everything will then settle down again. Because
what if we just made it like 20?
What if you just lost an additional order for each group you had?
Wait, what?
So like the whole threat around the like reducing your groups and increasing the amount of models is like tied directly to the I spend a command token to reduce your order pool, because that's the scary thing at the beginning of the game, right? Just change the way that interacts with the groups. Like maybe it works based on the number of models you have. You lose X amount of orders rather than a flat value.
Yeah.
Because like if you choose to go in with less models, you knew what you were doing before you started. But now there's this third party, like there's this flat rule that all factions do that everyone has that will punish you disproportionately for less models.
So my instinct's different, Owen. I wouldn't try like I do agree that I think there's a way of getting rid of the combat group limits and stuff like that. I don't think that needs to be integral to the combat groups. I think they need to look at how they're handing out extra orders, because the reaction to the 15 model cap that's created these like bundles of cheap miniatures or forced in this best in show thing we've been talking about all episodes is also the same reason why I started handing out multiple order generating models like TacAware. You know what I mean? Like NCO. And I think that if you're looking at the problem being that you could fit way too many orders in now, if you blew the top off the model count cap or the combat group cap, then why not instead look at how many orders are being generated by models? Like what stops impetuous troops from only having an impetuous order?
Right. Like,
you know what I mean? Like to also you have an impetuous order or you have a,
before we get too far away from it, Dan and I not too long ago had a conversation about the Invincible Army, and I made a 19 order 10 model list where it went completely just off the rails with tactical bears, NCOs, extra lieutenant orders, and it is just a like, and because this exists, I can't just say, oh, I don't like the remove two orders, because, or like, I don't want to just bring back, if you bring 10 models, it only takes one order, like
that's what I'm saying. I feel
no,
like
I agree. It's two sides of that coin. I don't have a fix for it.
Okay.
Before we go further, before I don't have a further solution. Yeah, I have ideas, right, about what I like. I'm identifying what I view as like an issue, and okay, it's a thematic issue rather than like a balance, like game balance wise. Because I think the game, mm-hmm, is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
As far as like balance between factions. But my perspective is that in achieving that, it was at the cost of the identity of the factions.
Mm-hmm. And how do you keep the game interesting but also balanced?
Right. And so like it becomes, how do you maneuver your pieces? And it becomes like a chess game of, we all have the same things. It's just, how did you apply them? But I guess for me, I like my faction being its own thing that isn't the other thing.
Right.
Like, you don't play Eldar because you like Space Marines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that isn't why you do it. And it should be the same thing here, where it's like, Hakazlam isn't Pano. Why can we both play the same way? And mm-hmm, it's, oh, well, that's the thing that Infinity does. And it's an interesting thing that everyone can kind of touch on each other's things. Like, I think War Machine is kind of a good comparison there, where like, yeah, Signar is a shooting faction, but you can play a scary shooting Menoth army.
True.
But it was always different. And yeah, that's where this is starting to feel samey. And then the thing with the mercenaries, and the reason I got riled up about it, was because I realized, having not thought about it until we went faction to faction,
mm-hmm,
was that this was like the epitome of that idea.
Right.
This was, we're just literally going to play the same models. Like, we're not even going to pretend anymore that like my Tanko and your Teutonic are different. We're just going to both play Tankos, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the mercenaries.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I look like a like an old game of StarCraft Brood War, and I still watch people play that today online. And it's insane how much like little balance there's been with such crazy different factions, and how it's like the Zerg is fighting against the Terran, and the Zerg always has like half as many workers. But it's balanced because their workers get built at the same place their army does, that somehow that works. And it's like no faction is dominating another faction. Now,
right,
that's only three factions, right? So also, let's, you know.
The amount of player agency in a game where you have like 100 actions per minute versus 30 actions per game.
Yeah, like, it's been different.
Yeah. Dramatically different.
They're up to 400 actions per minute now.
Yeah, there you go.
They're crazy, crazy Koreans. But anyways, okay. So, but it's just kind of like, okay. So that's like the probably the best example of the not same but equal kind of thing. And then you look at like a board game that's pretty somewhat well known. Some of you know it is called Root.
Mm-hmm.
Root is it's very lean into that. Is that every faction plays super super different, and they've introduced tons of expansions. I think there's like 9 different races you can play. And all of them feel very different than playing the other one. And there's no way to make them feel the same. They're very different. But because there's so many factions now,
they've gone a little too far off the rails with that. Yeah.
It's that like there's some really, really bad matchups where if this race is playing against that race doesn't have fun anymore. And right. So it's like when you lean too far into the being unique but equal, you don't get to actually be equal.
High values in being equal.
Right. And so when you're talking about like a miniature game where it's like, yeah, it's a model company, they're selling models, that's how they're making their money, but in reality you keep buying models because you enjoy playing the game. And it's like, how do you keep enjoying playing the game? Because like right now it's like when I'm looking, I'm like, do I want to collect another faction? Because I've super fastly just collected every single thing of O12. There's a few mercenaries, or like not mercenaries, but like other faction stuff, like Devas and Dakinis and some other little things that
Bleeding like and Aleph. Yeah.
Like I don't think I'd ever want to bring them in O12, but maybe I'll try one day kind of thing. So I might as well mix it up.
Fuzzbotting a Dakini HMG is pretty great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there's fun things you can do with it, but it's kind of like I've collected all the faction. And right. So for something new, to start a new faction, I'm just like, I look at the, I just, I, it's hard getting excited I'm like, oh yeah, I could do this. But do I? Wait, I could do that.
Is it the overlap? Is it the fact that like you'd need to go buy your remotes again? And like, is that just, what's discouraging you?
I would just proxy
you?
The remotes. I was like, I'll use the same remotes I'm using now. Got that's it. No problem. Until, you know, I start playing it more and then I eventually collect them kind of thing. So that's actually, I played a ton of remotes at first. And now I try not to include the remotes very much at all. It's like, especially like, because it just feels like I'm playing my unique list instead of like, I got the same thing you got. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's where your brain has gotten to after, you know, 30 or 40 games, then I think that's a legitimate like lived experience, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's, I think that's where we're talking about is we've done these breakdowns. We've played a whole bunch of games and we've noticed these common threads and that template building stuff is starting to become apparent, that like patching over with mercenaries is starting to become apparent. I don't think any of us have answers.
I can look back in our Patreon chat and you can watch as each episode has come out. We've all written lists for each of the factions and they're different. Like they're not all the same models, but like I'd make a case that these are all the same lists. Like I broke the mold a little bit by making just like wild skews, but generally, like if you look back and forth, even between Ash and I, when we're both trying to be
skewy, like,
serious, no, the opposite. Like we're trying to play. Here's a legitimate like yeah, QK
yeah.
list.
You can take this, yeah.
There's the same lists, like. QK.
The core pieces very often were the same because we would talk about them and then we would agree on some things and disagree on some other things. And then it tended to be that like we'd have like a 60% overlap in our lists, you and I, after those breakdowns.
For me, it was more that the roles were all identical. It was
right.
Like maybe we didn't have the same models doing it, but the composition, like the 5-3 and 5,
yeah,
those are the same every time.
That's funny because I'm looking at our star model list from way back in the beginning, and your star model list is Raven Eye Lieutenant, Raven Eye, Kappa Hacker, Kappa Hacker, Blue Coat. Mine's Raven Eye Lieutenant, Raven Eye, Kappa Hacker, Blue Coat. Like it's the same five models in slightly different order, like yeah. From the top. Like we started and we both have Law Keepers. We both have like we have all the same yeah. stuff basically in different orders,
and we don't play the same like the way we approach
you
these
and I,
games
you and
are
I definitely
not
don't
the,
play
same.
The same. Yeah, we don't.
And yet when facing here's faction, maybe you're more familiar than I am because I was not super familiar with Star Mata for sure. They're like the same.
We again, saw the same things in the faction.
The models yeah. might change. Like you have a Knight of Santiago, I have a Raptor. Like you brought a Bronze, I brought Parvati. Like. Okay, we're not exactly identical,
but there's a 60% overlap at least.
Like, yeah,
it's
and then
very
even
close.
Then the Raptor's doing the job that the Santiago's doing.
Yeah,
right. Like they're the same guy. He's wearing a different hat today. Like instead of bringing his combi rifle, he brought a multi rifle, thus wildly changing the way the game plays. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, and so to really bring to try and keeping it. To the mercenaries thing,
not just mercenaries, but it's the common threads. Like that's really what this episode's about.
Yeah, it's become a list building conversation.
Well, that's what this whole thing has been because this was us looking at common threads that we picked out while we were talking about list building and doing these faction guides. Like that's it. These are it's patterns we're seeing in what we've done after doing this 10 times in a row. And yeah. The mercenaries are a common pattern, the way they patch things over, the fire teams are a common pattern, the remotes and the way the remotes stack together into these like little cheap order blobs are a common pattern. Like this is just stuff that sort of unconsciously we fell into. And I think it had the same, I'm not gonna say negative effect, but it had the same sort of like, I don't know, like numbing effect maybe on the three of us, like where I wanted to break those molds.
You didn't actually answer, Dan. What? Why you're humming and hawing on other factions. Because like yeah. Ash gave you an answer of like, because it feels the same, but you didn't actually say it.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if I know the answer. If I maybe just explore my feelings with you guys. I I think part of it is the stupid naming conventions of like, I'm like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. And it's kind of like, I don't want to do the sectorial thing. I don't want to do the core Harris build. It just seems icky to me. It doesn't seem fun. And every time I do, there's one game where I had a core and the blue coat was an utter champion. And he like just goo gunned everybody. And he made that great sound that Ash likes.
Ugh. Oh, never again. Never again.
All I have to do is talk about it now.
Oh, God, that episode. I should just delete that episode from Spotify.
Right. But it was just like that was super fun, right? And I was like, my yeah. guy who's mediocre with that extra +3
mechanical upgrade of
and then that mechanical upgrade, it was just cool to see him in action. And that's only going to happen if he's in a pure core, right? Like a composition bonus. And so it's just kind of like, so there's that, and that's cool, I guess. But there's just like the, I don't want to have the five guy. It feels like a crutch more than anything. But everybody does it. And everyone seems to like it. And everyone like, you know, and it's very mechanically powerful. Very, because you have a bunch of, for lack of better words, shitters who all of a sudden become good. And you're like, hey, that's great. I can bring a bunch of cheap models and now they're even better, or expensive models and they become even better. And so it's like, well, how do you go against that? And it's hard not to. So when I'm looking at these sectorials and I'm like collecting all these models, I'm like, I kind of just want to do a vanilla faction. But then if I do that, I have to collect a crap ton of models.
You don't, how though. I learn, don't have to. It won't be the same as you collecting everything in over 12. You can do it on a slower timeline.
It will be. You can pump
your own brakes, Dan. That's less of an infinity problem and more of your impulse control problem than anything else.
I think what it is I learn by playing. And so it's like, I'll play a model. And I'll be like, I'll play them a few times. Like, oh, I really love it. And then I turn out like, actually, no. I don't actually like this model at all. It was really cool in this one game, in this one situation, but that was just lucky rolling, turns out. And it's like, okay, I learned that I don't want to play this model so much anymore. Like, that was Crushers for me. I was like, Crushers seem cool. And I'm playing them. I'm like, and maybe I'll go back to them and try them out. Same thing with Bronzes. I'm like, Bronzes are cool. I'm like, they're so expensive. They never do what I need them to do, really. Okay, so those go to the side. And then it's just like, I've collected them, I painted them, I play with them. It's great. And then it's like, oh, the Lynx. I really like the Lynx. Lynx are fun. And it's like, arguably, no one really likes them that much online. Like, no one's playing them in 012 that I can see as much, really. They just don't make the list, but they make my list. And I feel like it's like a unique thing that I know how to play with. And it's like a play style. If you don't play them the way I plan to play with them, you can definitely play them incorrectly and lose. And then just, they're not effective and they're turn out not to be good models. Right. And so like that. So, okay, I found a model that I really love and I want to put it in a lot of my lists. Okay, cool. I like even chopped off the sniper rifle, you know, printed out a little plasma gun and, you know, glued it on and painted up all nice. And you're like, oh, cool. I have my little custom model that no one has, you know, it's just like awesome. And that's how I kind of play a faction. I kind of like work through it. But with sectorials, you're always just kind of the stepping stone to getting the vanilla kind of thing is the sectorial. And I don't enjoy playing fire teams enough to want to start. I kind of just want to play an NA2 faction, so I'm not tempted to buy every single little thing. But then I'm like, how fast am I going to get bored with that little faction? And thankfully, I think I got plenty of O12 left in me. Like, I got still, there's so many iterations that I can still play, and I haven't played with the Gamma nearly enough. I just got my Omega painted. I got to play with the Omega a lot. And so, like, there's plenty of legs left in O12 and Starmada that I can try out. But it's just kind of like, as I'm playing Starmada, as I'm building lists, I'm always like, but what about O12 again? Because I just have so much more variety and like freedom of list building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I hated about like War Machine. But basically, every time you have to play like a theme list, I'm like, why do I have to play a theme list? What if I just don't play a theme list?
That's an interesting comparison, because theme lists became like a requirement at the end of Mark III, because they gave you free stuff and you were walking away from a mechanical advantage if you didn't use them.
And I hated every moment of it.
Yeah,
I took it because it's free points, right? But it's like, and I'd find the ones that would still give me the most amount of freedom to take stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the ones that I enjoyed playing the most. So maybe it's just my style of play, my style of list building, but it's just kind of, I don't really enjoy the sectorials that much, which is like the complete opposite of what like I get the feeling of from everyone else. Everyone loves sectorials. They love having that mechanical power of like, I'm like plus three Blissa skill, plus one burst in ARO. I don't have to go into, you know, I just get that. It's so powerful having an extra burst in ARO.
We should definitely caution people that this could be like a case of three people yelling at clouds too, right? Like where we want something different out of, or we're asking for something that we maybe don't need, or maybe we need and most people don't need. Cause like for some people, like I have to kind of like pump my own brakes and go, I'm a guy who very often says, hey, Infinity's actually pretty linear and easy to get into. And then I look at fire teams and go, ah, I'm kind of bored with fire teams because they're so linear and like easy to get into. You know what I mean? And like, I need to actually kind of curb my own instinct there, because the thing that maybe I find disinteresting about fire teams is actually the thing that's making Infinity more approachable and allowing me to play more Infinity games. And I should just shut up about it and just do my own thing instead, and not say everyone else should do what I'm doing, but that we're all three different people who maybe are approaching Infinity for a variety of different reasons. That isn't the norm too. So like that's maybe it, like the observation still stands. And I think there's a ton of like truth in what we've sort of observed in doing the faction breakdowns, but I think I'd really hesitate to say everybody don't play sectorial, you know what I mean? Like because I think that Infinity can be different things for different people, and my most encouraging thing about this edition of Infinity and the way we've been playing so far is we're seeing a lot more players enter the game, play the game, and stick around than we did previously.
Right.
And there's probably a reason for that, right? And so just because I need to maybe slow down a bit,
because you roped me into a podcast
and roped you into playing Infinity, yeah. but I think that's a maybe just like the PSA at the end of this whole thing is, this might just be three guys complaining about something that, or not even complaining, but just like reading tea leaves about something that only these three guys care about, and you listening to this podcast can like be like, well, that's an interesting clerical note of like what you guys observed, but that doesn't have shit to do with me. I'm gonna keep using my Liberto. I'm gonna keep using this and keep using that, because it might just be our internalizing of going through that process and seeing these patterns that we fell into and going.
I want to clarify that we disagree as well. I don't think the mercenaries is a problem whatsoever.
Sure.
I don't think
it's a problem yet either. I think it's just something that as they continue to release these universal mercenaries every ITS season, they need to think about how that impacts, right, other things. Because you haven't seen them do a cheap one since Tag Raid, right? They're like, most of them are in the 20 to 30 points now. They're not Libertos. They're not motorized by hunters that are 9 points. Like that's where my like thing comes in. It's like, think about when you're painting all the primary prime factions with the same brush with a unit, you got to think about how it's going to affect those units individually, right? So, or those, like,
motorized bounty hunters go against an elite force, they're not doing anything, they're bouncing off of them.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what happened to me one game.
That's when they switched to SMGs, man. They switched to SMGs and they get with an eight and they lean on their mimetism and cover.
Yeah, but they have, but the heavy guys have nanopulsers and stuff, and you go, oh no, I died.
I'm just saying, just you have options. You have options you can do.
I didn't find the mercenaries, like through this conversation, I realized that I talked about it being the mercenaries, but for me, in the same way that it's like we all have different perspectives on this, the mercenaries are a symptom of a problem that I feel is greater for me playing the game. And it's the identities within the factions. And that the mercenaries were such a distillation of what I had been like, because like I've had incredibly bad faction ADD since I've come back to playing the game. Where before I would play a different
list. It wasn't great before. Let me just tell you, it wasn't great before either.
it's much worse. Like what used to be like, I'd play a different list because I wanted to try something different. I now just play a different faction to try and get something different out of it.
Yeah.
Because like, that's the only way that like I see that I can do something that's wildly different, or the models that I have are different enough. And
I can't even feel anymore, Ash. I can't even feel. I got to burn the match all the way down to the end.
It kind of like pushes against my perspective that they all feel kind of samey. But I think that like in my mind, as we were talking here at the end, like I'm thinking of three lists that I played against recently. One of them was an Ariadna list with Bears, a core team, a Harris team. The core team had an HMG with a bunch of abilities. The other Harris team had an HMG with a bunch of abilities. They started standing Bear on left, Bear on right. Get through the two point mans of this list and then fight the skirmisher units and you win. Oh, and they had Uxia or some combination or something like Uxia. And then I played a Nomad list and theirs was a Harris team with a Swast and then a Link team with two Riot Girl missile launchers who stood and they could shoot at you. And then they had Morlocks and the BIM 6 fight robot. And then I played against Combined Army. So they had, and you could say it with me now, 5-man Link team. Theirs was an MSV2 sniper with a 3-man team who had MSV Spitfire and another guy who had a Fuhrbach. And then he had a drop trooper who came, like, it was like, what the hell is happening here? How is this happening game after game after game after game that it's the same friggin' stack. And like that is what is killing me right now. Like that's the thing that, and then when I saw the mercenaries and I saw them come up and I watched us write lists and I was like, now we're just playing the same models. And so like, that was what like got this conversation started. But in the conversation, I've realized that it's like, it's under that's the surface of like, here's the distillation, like I said, but it's the like, and then I'm doing the same thing and I have to like stop myself from doing it. I have to go and play at a satellite event and I'm playing a sectorial and my only Link team is three random guys who are hiding in the backfield because I'm a sea of camo markers and infiltrators and stuff to try and break out of the mold that I'm watching.
Yeah, I think that's your own like infinity thing though. Like as soon as you stop obsessing over what other people are doing and just start doing your own thing, like that's how I'm going to walk away from this, is I'm going to start challenging myself to make lists that don't rely on those core teams or those like core, you know, chunks of army building that I keep falling back into over and over again. And try and like look at units that are in like a midpoint range that I can take a bunch of instead of taking the big hitting pieces, you know, not taking the obvious gunfighters, not taking the obvious point men and taking something that's mid range instead and spreading my points around to try and get to that same, you know, 8-7 build or however you want to do it. Because to me, I think the difference is when you see the obvious combinations in your opponent's army, I mean, that's just a player advantage. That's you having a player advantage. You can see how it's broken down. You can see like the ones and zeros, you know what I mean? You see the code in the matrix. And then I just stop worrying about that. And I look at my own army and go, well, how am I now subverting what their expectation is? Because if that guy across from these last three games was against a rival Link team, a rival Harris team, some midfielders and some whatever button pushers, how is my army going to melt his brain? Cause he doesn't know what to do when there's just not that in front of him. There isn't an obvious link and everything spread out. Like, I'm going to take away from this that I could up my own game and build my own armies differently. And that's going to give me an advantage when I play.
I have never felt more like the dice have made this differences in my games than I have in the last few months. As someone who like usually pushes back on the idea that like the dice decided how your game would go. Like, I like the puzzle of infinity. It's the thing that I find enjoyable is how do you solve the problem of what your opponent has put in front of you? And you keep fighting the same friggin' puzzle. And that's what's starting to kill me. Like it's the same thing. You wear a different hat. Yours is T2 ammo. Yours is MSV. Yours is mimetism. But it's the same hat. Like they're the same problem with, did I bring the right tool to beat it? And if I beat them, if my HMG stands up and kills them, I win the game. And if they don't, I don't. It becomes a big like scrum and everyone's rolling like,
yeah, but then you got to look at lateral solves, right? Like to me, that's
sure. It's the fade comes out becomes, of the woods and stabs
yeah,
you.
But that's what I mean. That's where like my agency makes that game interesting because I look at like, how do I dismantle a Link team that isn't go through the front door? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's that's where my brain goes is I need to change my expectation. And my expectation is I'm going to bring tools that do not solve the problem with brute force and mechanical power, and then I'm going to use them to take apart an army that's leading.
Let me tell you about double fidet McMurrow's double.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I know. Yeah, exactly.
That's the, I'm going to go fight the same list five times. I better be able to deal with this problem. And I did. Sure. with one exception where we tied. Yeah.
Well, you didn't tie, and you didn't tie because of killing. You tied because you went first.
Because I couldn't stop myself from trying to kill.
Yeah, that's right.
But even then, there's an example of like, sure, had the dice gone a little differently and that first punch worked the way it.
No, and he also laterally thought it out and that held one, off until last turn. That guy played you, yeah, too. Yeah.
Definitely played you. Definitely did.
I find in the tournament the games that I enjoyed the start of the game most was against the Steel Phalanx and Vanilla Nomads, because I was like, okay, Steel Phalanx has a bit different, they don't have like the same kind of like, they don't have the big core link kind of thing, right? So right. I was like, that was neat. And then it was like, oh crap, Atalanta. So that was another whole other thing.
But then against
Nomads, I was like, oh, there's no links, they have this strong hacker net and all these like guys hiding in buildings with fast pandas, and I'm like, oh,
Uber falls, all kinds of great stuff,
This is another puzzle I get to solve, and it was fun.
Yeah,
like it was. I mean, that was
you face the unexpected. You have to actually react.
It was just like my mind kind of expanded. Of like, okay, cool. It's game time. It's not like the I gotta avoid this or try to get a template. It was just like nothing was super clumped, and it was just like he had a tag that I was scared of. I was like, he's gonna fight. He's got the big tag weapon. It's like, okay, well, how do I deal with that? It was just like, it was a whole other kind of experience, and I enjoyed it more so than fighting the, there's the Harris, there's the core, there's the guy hidden deployment in my bay. And it's just, I play that a lot, mm-hmm, as well. And it's like,
yeah,
I wish I played more other things.
Yeah. Well, and then I think that's my takeaway from this is, how do I bring that to the table so that it doesn't matter what I'm facing and I'm playing the game in a way that's challenging me, because I can't control what my opponent does, and I want to play more games against more opponents, but I can't decide how they're going to play for them, right? So it's about, how do I subvert that? Yes, right.
Go back to Spud's challenge mode.
Can we do it all Fusiliers? Hang on.
You can't anymore.
Oh, you can't anymore, can you? They're not expensive enough. They're so cheap.
Actually, he played lists that were like 100 points down, because there's no there like wasn't a reason at the time or something like that would force you to. So it was like, oh no, that's what it was. He had a second group of random stuff, but it just sat in the corner and faced the wall,
right?
And then he only ever used the 10 man Fusilier. So it was like, can you win at infinity using only 10 Fusiliers?
Oh, it's so good.
Like you just
so good
for your so... for the perspective, Dan, it'd be like, try playing O12. You can only use Kappas, and you can only use 10 of them.
Oh my God. Hang on.
Challenge accepted.
I'm just trying to figure out how deep I can go. How many points can you get to? And 15 models with just Fusiliers. So if you max your SWC, you can have a Fusilier Lieutenant, 3 Fusilier HMGs, a multi-sniper rifle, a grenade launcher, a hacker, 3 4 forward observers, and then 4 paramedics. And that's the most points you can get to, and it's 206 points. So you drop one paramedic, and then you take a cutter. And you can play a 300-point army. That's what I would do. I would just take a cutter.
You can't use him, though.
But you can. He's just a big Fusilier. You just put a beret on him.
No, you just... Here's what you do. You put the cutter down, hidden deploy, and never reveal
it. And never reveal it.
Exactly. And he's just never in the game. And
that's you're right. Like, there that's right. But you never go, but you also never go into retreat. Yeah. That's what I would do. Yeah. Take the cutter, and then...
Kappas is hard. I'm like maxing out on Swick, and I'm at like 158 points.
Oh, I'd actually lose points though, Owen, because I can no longer take all the HMGs. because Swick kicks in, right? So I'm actually hang on, how far can I go now?
Again, it doesn't matter because you only get 10 guys. It's not 15. Oh, it's only 10 guys. You only get 10.
Okay. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. I thought the challenge was just only Fusiliers. No, you can't do it with 10 guys. There's no way. With 15, even with a cutter, the maximum you can get to and still obey your SWC cost is 279.
The only one he beat using that list was me when we were fighting the non-lethal versus the 10 fused leader.
Oh, that's right. When you were playing, Well, Dan, you know
this
what?
This was at a tournament. Dan.
It was a tournament. Yeah. I remember that. So Traumadox and Machinists are technically kind of fused leaders because they have Braze as well.
No, you're losing the plot.
No,
you're losing it.
No,
losing
I'm not. I'm sticking the
If we're going to play a gimmick, it has to be all in.
No, it's but they have Braze. So they're part of it. They fit. They're also
it's not Braze. It's Fusiliers.
I think they're Fusiliers. They're just Fusiliers with different chops. Hang on. How far can I?
Gotta call a spade a spade here.
I'm
if
doing
they were
this.
Fusiliers, they'd be called Fusiliers.
Nope. I'm doing it. I could do this army. It's so bad. It's good.
The most expensive.
Four pal bots. Oh, you can only have three. God damn it. Wait, the Tech B has a beret. Come on, Tech B. Can I do this and have all berets? Wait, is this five points?
Is this just like a whatever your total thing?
Yeah, it's your line trooper.
Fusilier Indigo Richard Quinn is a Fusilier. I can use Fusilier Indigo Richard Quinn.
Wait, I think the Drew's version is not bad.
He said
the Drew's Bayrock.
Unconvincingly.
No, you just take all Drew's and it works because they're expensive enough.
I mean, fair.
That's the spirit. That's where like the idea is.
Yeah. I like your head.
You take these like nobodies and you try and like, because first off, no one else can play a Fusilier list. Only Pano. No one else can copy. They can play their own kind of thing. But if I play a Hakazlam all Ghulam list against your Fusilier list, we're not playing the same game. Like, I've got shotguns. I got to close the gap. I've got better whip than you. You've got better BS than me. Like,
could you imagine if you roll up to a tournament and your army list is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 Fusiliers, a Machinist, a Traumadoc, and Richard Quinn, and your opponents look at you like, what is happening right now? No,
they don't see the list until you've deployed.
That's true. Yeah.
So they're like, wait, what are all these? What are you proxying?
But you have 14 models. Oh, I'm not proxying these. These are just all Fusiliers. I'll do it. I'll take the fuse. I will take the United Nations of Space Planets to a tournament. I will absolutely do it. I just need to find all these Fusiliers. I will happily paint 11.
Buy a few more Drew's boxes.
Oh my god, this is such a good gimmick list. It's so bad, it's good. Yeah, I'd do it. I'd take the all Fusilier army. I'd take that challenge. BS 12 the faction, but nobody's coming back because we're also all whip 12. Just pray there's no buttons to push because nobody knows how to push a button in this army.
Just roll good.
Fusiliers for days is what this is going to be called.
Hakazlam can get to 240 in 6 swick. With literally just Ghulams.
With just Ghulams? Wow. That's 30 more points. But I think your base guy is more expensive. I think he's a shotgun. Is he 11?
He's 11.
Yeah, mine are 10.
Yeah, but Doctor Plus 3s. There's a lot of Doctor Plus 3s.
There's a lot of Doctor Plus 3s. Yeah, no.
Every sniper life machine gun has a doctor rubbing his shoulders.
That's what I was going to say. Life is precious. I have guys holding fucking med kits by the wrong end. My paramedics just randomly shooting med kits at people. They're like, oh, I think this is what end goes into you? They're just they're what's his name in Idiocracy. They're the doctor in Idiocracy is like, this one goes in your mouth and this one goes in your hand and this one goes in your butt. Oh wait, hang on. No, this one goes in your mouth. He's spinning around.
I love that movie.
That is fantastic. It's just too bad it came true. Yeah.
Look at that Amazon warehouse.
That was the Costco warehouse. The Costco warehouse.
No. I'm talking about the Amazon warehouse. Oh, look it up.
Okay. Idiocracy.
For those listening, look up the Amazon warehouse in Mexico and compare it to the Idiocracy Costco. They're the same. It's the same.
Welcome building. To Costco. I love you.
Oh my god. Well, all right, fair enough.
We're off the rails.
We've done it. We made a sode. We finished another episode. Hooray. Yep. And this one was
Old Man Yells at Cloud.
Old Man Yells at Cloud, the episode. I'm so into it. We went through some things. We made some decisions. We decided to challenge ourselves with gimmick lists. I like where the attitude is headed with this. I think that everyone should have to make a list with only the line troop from their parent faction and see if they can make it work. They have to do a gimmick where everyone's wearing a beret or everyone's doing whatever. And I think you will find some joy in Infinity that you didn't otherwise have. Because, like, speaking of which,
you're hosting tournaments. Can't you just impose stupid rules on people?
I could impose stupid rules on people, but I would rather. So here's my thing with stupid rules. I feel like instead of imposing stupid rules, I should encourage people to behave stupidly instead. So what I would say is I would never make a rule where you had to do stuff like this, but I would lavishly reward anyone who did. Does that make sense? Like,
okay.
I will make it rain miniatures onto someone who comes up with armies like this. As long as they go full court press and like convert the miniatures and pay them and do the whole thing. Like,
okay,
I'm so well into it.
Local Albertan, Mr. Malorian, fellow YouTuber, he hosted some fun War Machine tournaments. One was called Lovers War Machine, or like it was Love Machine. That's what it was. It was instead of War Machine, it was Love Machine. And every game you had two Warcasters instead of one. But if either Warcaster died, you lost. And you just created some crazy jank stuff. And no one could break the meta because there's not time enough. There's just one tournament. And right. It was going. And I ended up getting first. And I have this little thing called Love Machine, first place. And it's a wedding topper.
Nice.
And people walk in, they're like, what the hell kind of award is that? Because everyone thinks it's something sexual.
It's the best award. It's both sexual and violent.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was a happily ever after. The last mission was the two Warcasters had a baby. And then all the spells can combine and stuff. Anyways, but like I had, it was poorly attended because people just want to actually play the game instead of stupid rules. But it was so much fun. I loved that. I mean, it helped that I won, but I just had a blast the whole time. And it was really, really fun just playing the game differently for a little bit in a competitive environment for a weekend.
What I'm saying is I think you can do both. I actually think this Fusibly list isn't bad. I don't think it's great. I think it would melt people's brains, which is the amount of like SWC weapons you had. Like it has everything. It has a doctor, it has an engineer, it has paramedics, it has FOs, has millions of guns, has MSV.
I do know how this story ends as someone who did this with grunts. Good luck.
I mean, it has a cutter in it. So at some point you just unleash a cutter. Like you don't have
at
to.
Some point you, on at some back. Point you give up for the gimmick.
I don't think you give up the gimmick.
I'm
going to
play nothing but Fusiliers until I start losing and I use a cutter. It's like, but I think basically that's the same thing.
But that's it. Like, but imagine you're trying to play competitively and you make a list like this and you sucker a guy in thinking that like, that's gotta be all he's got. He's got 14 models. You're like, oh my God, he just took Fusiliers.
Okay. So
then turn two, like bottom half of turn two, you just go one, 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 one. And the cutter just like detaches itself from the wall and starts killing things. Like, I think there's some legs to that. I don't think it's terrible.
Okay. So modified rules, is it 10 of your line troop and then whatever else?
It's no. 10 of your line troop, period. And whatever else is only so that the TO won't get mad at you for not having 300 points.
Yeah.
And then when you go to play the game, they're all in their own group. Hell, they're all in individual groups because you can have as many groups as you want. And they're all facing the corners.
Owen's imposing so many things.
On no, this. I'm reiterating what the original ones were. I remember, this did exist.
Yeah. Except you can't actually get 300 points any of this.
The one that could do it before, and again, the 15 order limit stops it, is I straight up played a 25 grunt list with US Ariadna.
I remember that, yeah.
So Zanji's died like they died in droves.
Yeah.
Every person who tried to shoot got killed.
Zanji's can get to 147 points. That's the maximum they can get to.
Good.
With 10 lines. Good.
I feel like we need to lift the 15 order limit for this challenge.
Yes, definitely.
How many points do you think Kaisetsu can get to? Those 9 point
Kaisetsus. 9 point scrubs. Not very high. Yeah. I mean, you can do a 200 point tournament, like a 200 point all line troop tournament. That'd be fun. Just do like a, I don't want no scrubs. Everyone's got to be light infantry. Everyone's got to be line troop. You can only take units that AVA either one or T. You know what I mean?
Cutter.
Except the line troops. Everything has to be line troops.
He's AVA one.
Yeah, but he's not line troops.
How do you know it's line troop?
LI? It says it over their names.
Yeah.
LI. No, it's not LI. Line troop is its own thing separate from Mercy.
Yeah, oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
If you look up classification when you're filtering, you can see it there.
Yeah, you can take all line troops.
So like you could bring Kamau.
You use Zanshi, Celestial Guards, and Quang Shi. And
what if my faction doesn't have line troops?
You don't get to play.
Faction? Yeah, go home.
Drew's Bayrev only has Fiddler as a line troop and the Trip Hammer.
And you don't get to play Drew's. Sorry. See you next event. You can play against my Hawk Islam list of nothing but Kumbikes. Because they are line troops.
Kappas and blue counts. Are they really nothing but line troops? Oh my god.
ABA yeah, total line troops. Here comes the motorcycles.
200-point tournament. We'll do a funsies tournament at some point. 200-point tournament, nothing but line troops.
That'd be amazing.
And that'd be absolutely amazing.
I could take Tukinis and Kappas in 012.
You can get Kappas and blue coats. I'm pretty sure.
And Dakinis are line troops.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Mutts are
line troops. You only get two of them,
though. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Trip Hammer is too when you get out of it. That's it.
Wait, are you allowed to bring the Trip Hammer if you immediately jump out?
Because the problem is that everyone would take the Trip Hammer.
Can you bring Fiddler because the majority of her group is line troops because the Jackbots are?
I would say yes. I would allow it.
It's okay. All right. 15 Kumbikers will be fine.
Yeah, you'll do fine with Kumbikers. We're going to Tohawk that. Hang on. Nothing but line troops. Kamales, and that's it. You have nothing but Kamales. That would be garbage. Aelof can take Dakinis, I think, and that's it. Hang on.
No, Thrakatai. Take...
Oh, yeah, Thrakatai, Danavis,
they
Hackers,
couldn't do it, though, because they only get 8 of them.
Eight Dakinis?
No.
They get 3 Dakinis. They get 8, the 3 to Thrakatais, and we get 8 total models. Oh my god. They give you 200 points, probably. Hang on.
In Starmada, you get 9 total models if you do line troops only.
So Gakis and Praetas are line troopers.
Sick.
Yeah, here's my fight of all fuses. There you go. Now we're just playing Starship Troopers. It's Gakis and Praetas against Fusiliers. Here we go.
Buckle up, everybody, for our next episode, Stupid Tournament Rules with Ash and Owen.
Ikari Company gets Wu Ming Assault Corps.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, I think at this
point, I broke it already.
All right, we've done it. We've got off the rails. We've successfully done a sewed again. and this was our detox of having done 10 faction guys in a row. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. And we'll be back next week with God knows what, because we haven't made up our minds yet what we're doing yet. But we need to get this
regular programming.
Yeah, but we need to get this out of our system. Well, we definitely need to get this out of our system.
I hope everyone builds some stupid lists this week.
Yes. Yes.
And has at least a few games with them.
Find me the dumbest version of all line troops. 200 points.
200 points.
I think it's Shang-Chi Invincibles. That's probably going to win.
You're going to have Shang-Chi's?
Because Wu Ming, Shang-Chu's, Yan Huo, and Zhu Yang's are all line troops. Yeah, get ready for the neurocinetic missile launcher. That neurocinetic missile launcher is going to put you in the ground.
Oh my god. Yeah, no. Yeah, Yu Qing definitely. On that note, Yu Qing definitely won the line troop game.
Yeah, except they only get like 3 models.
They have 8 profiles, so they only need 3 models from each of these profiles to get to whatever you want.
But the neurocinetic missile launcher is 1/4 of your army.
And on that note, good night, everybody.
Bye!